السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue inshallah today on our study of the life of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim, may Allah be pleased with them all. And we have studied, alhamdulillah, over the last year, many of the Sahaba kiram, radiallahu anhum. We studied the life of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise. We have studied the lives of many Sahaba and Sahabiyat after that. And the way we will do it is we will take the life of one Sahabi and we will go in somewhat in detail into a biography of one of the Sahaba. And in that there is a great guidance for us, alhamdulillah, to know how they lived, what they believed in, their way of life and their determination to elevate this deen, this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to where it is, and their fadl, their bounty on us. The Muslims after them, how they paved the way for us to walk in, and how they show us the example that we should follow. Alhamdulillah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ashabi kan nujum, bi ayyi maqtadaytum ihtadaytum." He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "My companions are like the stars, which whoever you follow, you will be guided." Because they were all guided by the light of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and by the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today inshallah, and in a few sessions to come, we will change our method a little bit in this study group. And what we will do inshallah, instead of as we studied many biographies, we will go into focus on a subject, like aspect that groups the Sahaba, the life of the Sahaba together. Like what was their way of life in a certain aspect of life? Like what was their method of jihad? How they understood jihad? What was their way about that? How they understood charity? What was their understanding of sacrifice as a group of Sahaba? And in that we may repeat some of the stories that we talked about before, and we may bring on to light some new Sahaba that we have not talked about. Alhamdulillah. And in that, I'm reading a book called Hayatul Sahaba, The Life of the Sahaba. And it is written by Shaykh Muhammad Yusuf Al-Kandalahwi. And he is a alim, he's a scholar from India, rahimahullah. He died actually in Lahore, 1965. And he is one of the modern ulama, radiyallahu anhum. And may Allah help them help this ummah. And he also one of the co-founder of Jama'at al-Tabligh, the act of Jama'ah in Da'wah in this world. So this one, you know, just a small biography. And his book is unique. It's a 3-volume book, and he takes the life of the Sahaba into aspects of how they lived. And inshallah, we will be guided by this book in our study and other books as well. Just to give you a background about the reference that we use in this study group. And this book was prefaced by Abu al-Hasan al-Nadawi, radiyallahu anhu, rahimahullah, the well-known, renowned alim of India, rahimahullah, who the Muslim world lost him just a few years back. And in his preface to this book, just wrote a very beautiful paragraph that I will read to you. He said that the life of the Sahaba, تاريخ رجال جاءتهم دعوة الإسلام فآمنوا بها وصدقتها قلوبهم. He said it is a life, it's a story of people, of men, that they called upon by the call of Islam and they believed in it and their heart followed it. وما كان قولهم إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله إلا أن قالوا. And what their reply, their response to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, that they said, ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا. They said, O Allah, we heard a caller calling to believe, calling for faith, that believe in your Lord, believe in your God, and we have believed. And then he continues to say, they put their hands in the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their souls, their money, their families, their clans, and their tribes became secondary to what they would give towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, استطابوا المرارات والمكاره. The bitterness became sweet to them in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hardship became easy for them in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, وَصَدَرَتْ عَنْهُمْ عَجَائِبُ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْغَيْبِ وَالْحُبُّ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. They show wonders in how they loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how they followed the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَالرَّحْمَةُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالشِدَّةُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They were merciful among another and they were hard with the unbelievers that fought them. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Sahaba, مُحَمَّدٌ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ محمد الرسول الله جزاء محمد الرسول الله والذين آمنوا معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. They are tough against the unbelievers and they are merciful among each other. And then he said they preferred the hereafter over this life and they preferred what is coming for what they have, and that meaning they preferred the Jannah over this dunya, and they had the utmost and the most endurance to bring the world from the darkness that it was in to the light of Islam. And to those we owe, to those Sahaba that were guided by the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the light of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to those we owe how Islam spread in this world. So, if we are to speak of the first aspect that we're going to talk about today, inshallah, of what is the most important aspect of the life of the Sahaba, ridwanullah alayhi. What was the thing that they would get up in the morning and think about, and then sleep at night and think about? It was one thing, and it's the first chapter in this book, and that is al-da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa rasul. Their life was based on da'wah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ بِآيَةٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have to spread your mission as a Muslim. He didn't call upon only the Sahaba. He's talking about this ummah. He said, give my word. Give the word out. Give the message out, even if it's one verse of the Qur'an. Even if it is one verse of the Qur'an. And the Sahaba understood the meaning of that. And they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how his life, his whole life was built on spreading the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on giving this kalima to other people, on letting people know that there is la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, and to base their life around that meaning, around that concept of wahdaniyah, of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Tawheed al-Rububiyya, wa Tawheed al-Asma'i wa al-Sifat. These are the branches of Tawheed. And we studied those before. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always had his life showing the Sahaba that you take every opportunity, no matter what it is, to give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Mushriki Quraysh, when the unbelievers of Quraysh came to Abu Talib, when Abu Talib was dying, and they came to say their farewell to Abu Talib, and there was Abu Jahl and Utbah bin Rabi'ah, and the noble, the elite of Quraysh, that he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knows how stubborn they are against the da'wah. And then yet, he took that opportunity to tell them, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, give me one word, and I will give you the power over Arabia, and the non-Arabs will pay you jizya, will pay you tax, meaning the Persian and the Byzantine. And they said, Ashran, we'll give you 10 words. What is it? And he said, say la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. And they said, ataj'alu al-alihata ilahan wahidan? Inna hadha shay'un ujab. They said, you want us to make all these gods into one? This is something unbelievable. How come all these gods will become just one? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses. But even that opportunity, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take it. Whatever it takes to give da'wah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give da'wah with. When you go to the life of the Sahaba, the entire conquest and jihad and futuh, the goal of that, as we studied and restudied many times over, the goal of that was not to expand the dominion of the Muslim empire. It was not for financial gain. It was not to control other people. It was not to steal somebody's resources and make it yours. It's not to invest in somebody else's wealth. It was to spread La ilaha illallah. And if people accepted La ilaha illallah, or accepted that the message which would reach the people freely, then they would be left alone. But if there were oppressive regimes over people that would prevent La ilaha illallah to reach the common people, and would prevent the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those people were fought to make La ilaha illallah known to everybody. And that was the reason for all these conquests and all these expansion. And when they gave their life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them everything. And look where they were, by giving the sacrifice to this religion and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a realm of less than 10 years, they conquered the two superpowers that were known to man in the old world at that time. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those who adhere to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very diligent that he would give the da'wah to every person, no matter where they are and no matter how. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him many, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the highest similitude. He was like, take it easy. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. He said, don't kill yourself over if they don't believe of what you're telling them. Don't feel bad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to feel the hardship, not because he's oppressed, not because people are treating him bad, not because they're stoning him in a Taif, not because they're throwing garbage on his door in Mecca, but because he wants to this message to reach everyone. And when he feels that the message is not, he would feel distressed, like what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was coming from a Taif. And his whole apology to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not because he was hurt. It's because he felt like he failed in that mission to Taif, and the people of Taif are not Muslims. And he was just asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and telling him, إِن لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. If you're not angry with me, then I don't care. Then all this hurting, all this insult, all this pain is fine. As long as you are not angry with me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, would you just kill yourself over? Would you give yourself so much hardship because they don't believe? إِن نَشَأْ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if we want, we will bring them a sign from heavens. When their necks will be broken for it. Their necks will be subdued to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reveal all these miracles and make people believe by force. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to show His power to people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let them be. Give them the message. Let the message reach them. And that's your duty. That's what you have to do. And then whatever happens after that, that is our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's business and not our business. The Sahaba understood this concept. And the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the jihad, during the battles that he sent his Sahaba to, was to let them know, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that after him, they will do that. And they will go out and they will be fighting and there will be wars to spread this word, because it was met with opposition. Kisra took the book of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tore it apart. And he sent an order to the king of Yemen to bring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prisoner to be tried in the court of Kisra. Because he dared as a slave of Kisra according to his ideas. He dared to call Kisra, to worship somebody other than Kisra. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would send his armies, or he would be with his armies, he would teach them, why are we doing this? Why are we fighting others? And here's the example that history recorded on the day of Khaybar. We know, and on the fortress in Khaybar, one of the most difficult fortresses, the Muslims were around it, and the siege was going on, and every time they try to attack the fortress, they would retreat, and they will not get the victory. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, tomorrow, لَأَعْطِيَنَّ الرَّايَةَ غَدًا لِرَجُلٍ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ لِيَفْتَحَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I will give the banner tomorrow to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger, and Allah and His Messenger love him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the victory to him. So on that day, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, مَا أَحَبَّبْتُ الْإِمَارَةَ قَطْ إِلَّا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. I never wanted to be a leader except that day. This is the only day that I love to be a commander, because this is somebody who Allah and His Messenger love. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up in the morning, he said, أَيْنَ Ali? Where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? رضي الله عنه. And then Ali came and he had disease in his eyes. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped his eyes, and his eyes were cured. And then listen what the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him. The man that he was given victory, promised victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will conquer that fortress, he will enter that fortress. He said, انفذ على رسلك. He said, go easily. Go and don't rush into battle and killing. حتى تنزل بساحتهم. Until you get into their place, their court. ثم. And then, he didn't say, then start shooting. He said, ثم ادعوهم إلى الإسلام. First thing, call upon them to become Muslim. Call upon them. Give them da'wah. First thing, before you go in and fight, give them the da'wah. Give them the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَخْبِرْهُمْ بِمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ حَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِيهِ. And tell them what the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are due to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then listen to this hadith. And then he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَإِنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ حُمُرُ النَّعَمِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you one man with that call, one man, instead of taking that whole fortress by force and destroying the fortress, if you give the message to one man and that one person believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, that is better to you than any spoils and any victory. Humr al-Na'am is basically the beautiful camels that used to be just an indication of wealth. So he's telling him that is better than any wealth you can get. It's if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided one person with that call. It's better than that entire battle. It's better than that entire victory. That a lot of wealth came to Muslim after that. But he said, if one man was guided by your words, it is better than all of that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the life of the Sahaba radiallahu alayhim was the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our first example of that is none but Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the first man that was called to Islam by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the first Muslim was Khadija radiallahu anha wa abdaha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of the believers. But then the first man that was called upon to accept Islam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And that is narrated in Ibn Ishaq. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered Islam to Abu Bakr and he did not hesitate. He is one of the people that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, I never offered Islam to anyone but they hesitated in their, I mean they thought about it. They had a minute to think about changing the religion of their, that they lived upon and the religion of their fathers and grandfather. He said, except Abu Bakr. When I finished talking to him, he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أنك محمد رسول الله. He said, I believe that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And immediately after he made Islam, he went out to da'wah. The same day, he knocked on the door of Uthman ibn Affan. He knocked on the door of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf. He knocked on the door of Zubair ibn al-Awwam. He knocked on the door of Talha ibn Ubaidillah. And he knocked on the door of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He brought 5 of the 10 that are given the glad tidings of paradise and brought them all back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muslimin. And he didn't stop there. Later on he knocked on the door of Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anhu. And he called upon Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam, whose house became the headquarter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first school that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give the da'wah, would give the message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are as-sabiqoon. Immediately they understood that this is a message. This is a mission. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon this ummah as not only a bounty, but it's the greatest bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on this ummah, but it's also a mission. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you were the best ummah, you were the best nation that were brought on to mankind. So we have a mission. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And a condition that you have to enjoin good and prevent vice. And that is how they understood this da'wah. How they understood the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, his whole life was calling da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the day he became Muslim. The minute he went into the house of Bani al-Arqam, in that long story that we all, alhamdulillah, know very well, we recited before, when he was going to try to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he entered the house of Bani al-Arqam with the heart filled of iman after he heard the verses of Surah Taha. And then after he sat down with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, immediately he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَوَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ, aren't we on the truth? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلَى, we are on the truth. And he said, أَفَلَا نَصْبَعْ بِمَا نُؤْمَرْ, he said, why don't we announce what we have been ordered, what we have been enjoyed upon? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, فَصْبَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, reveal what you have been told. Announce your message to the world. And that was after the Islam of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had a Christian slave. And that Christian slave, he would call upon him every day, Jazakallah khair, Jazakallah khair, to be Muslim. And his name was Astaq. And he would say, Ya Astaq, in aslamta sta'antu bika ala hawa'ijil muslimin. He said, if you become a Muslim, I would make you a servant. I will give you responsibility to help me with the khilafah for the Muslims. And he said, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَحِلُّ لِي أَنْ أَسْتَعِينَ عَلَىٰ أَمَانَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَسْتَ أَنْ أَسْتَعِينُ بِكَ عَلَىٰ أَمَانَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَسْتَ عَلَىٰ دِينِهِمْ. He said, I cannot put you over the affairs of Muslims and you are not a Muslim. He saw good qualities in this slave that he owned. And he said, I will... And I should say he owned his freedom, because we all owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but sometimes the freedom is taken away from us. But he owned the freedom of that man, and he said, I will give you responsibilities. You will be a free man in charge if you become a Muslim. And he would say, and I would tell him no. And his reply would be, لا إكراه في الدين. He said, I will not force you to change your religion. لا إكراه في الدين. There's no, it's up to you. So this is really an immediate reply to say that the Islam was spread by the sword on the time of Umar. If Umar had no authority to change the religion of his own slave, then how did he force the nations of Byzantium and Persia to change their religion by force? La ikraha fi al-deen. His own slave would tell him, I will not become a Muslim, and he would say, La ikraha fi al-deen. Until Umar died, and Astaq became a Muslim after Umar died. Freely. And Umar gave him his freedom after he died, because he freed all his slaves before he died, after his stabbing, radiallahu anhu. And then he became a Muslim. And one time he was in Asham on his famous trip to Al-Jabiya in the Golan Heights, may Allah return it to the Muslims. And he made wudu from a house of a Christian woman. And then he said, this is great hospitality and this is great water that you gave us. What is your religion? And she said, I'm a Christian. And then he said, you're an older woman, and let me give you the call. And he said, come to Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his prophet with the word of truth. Now this is, he's just a passerby going to meet his armies, and he is just seizes the opportunity to tell this elderly woman that come on to this Islam, to this religion. And then she said, no, look at my hair, it's all gray. I will not change what I've lived upon all my life. And then he said, Allahumma fashhad. He said, oh Allah, be a witness that I gave her the message, that I told her. And wallahi, when I was reading that, I said, subhanAllah, how many people I encounter in my life, and they don't even know that I'm a Muslim. They don't even know that, you know, subhanAllah, I remember when we were in the residency program, we used to go into small places and hide to pray, because as if we're doing something wrong. And how they would seize the opportunity to tell everyone that this is the way, come here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Prophet to everyone. He didn't send it to the Arabs. He didn't send it to the Persians. He didn't send him to the Indians. He didn't send him to the Africans. He sent him to everyone as a mercy to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Not only to mankind, it's to everyone, including the jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we send you as a mercy to the worlds. And we know even the jinn heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believed in his message. And I will take some few minutes to expand on how the Sahaba made the da'wah and who would be giving the mission of a da'wah. And one of the people that we did not study his life in detail, but he is one of the great Sahaba. And he was one of the great Sahaba at a very early age. And that is Mus'ab ibn Umayr, radiallahu anhu. Mus'ab ibn Umayr accepted Islam very early on, and he was a teenager. Now when he was a teenager, he was known as one of the most handsome people in Quraysh. And not only that, he was from a very wealthy family, and from a very noble family. And he was known that one of the best dressed people. And his description before his acceptance of Islam, that he was أَعْطَرُ شَبَابِ قُرَيْشِ. He was one of the best scented people in Quraysh. He really took care of his appearance, and he had a lot of handsomeness to back that up. And people in Quraysh used to love to have him in their places, because he made the whole place look better when Mus'ab ibn Umayr was there. And then he hears the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he goes and accepts Islam from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first person that would declare him as a rebel, as a sabi', as a man that left the religion of his fathers and declare animosity against him, was his mother, Khunasu bint Malik. And she was a very tough woman. And men used to be afraid of Khunas, as far as strong as she was, and as tough as she was in her determination. And she would take Mus'ab ibn Umar, and she locks him up. She imprisoned her son. And she said, you will not see the day of light until you leave what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given you. And you go back to the religion of your fathers. And he would refuse, and he would stay in prison until he was able to escape. And he went to Al-Habasha in the first hijrah. And he told his mother, and then he comes from Habasha and he goes for the second hijrah. And then he would tell his mother, Ya Ummah, inni laki nasih. He would come to his mother that locked him up. And he said, I have an advice to you. He would give da'wah to his mother that is locking him up. And he said, this is the way of your salvation. This is how you save yourself from the hellfire. أَشْهَدِي أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And she said, لَا أَدْخُلُ فِي دِينِكَ فَيُزْرَى بِعَقْلِي. He said, the people would think I'm crazy to go into your religion. People would think I'm a fool to come with you into your religion. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chooses this man who was tormented but not all by his mother to be his ambassador and his teacher to Al-Madinah. And he was the first ambassador, the first da'iyah, the one that would give da'wah officially in a whole place, which is Al-Madinah Al-Munawwar. and many people were older than Mus'ab. He was a young man. He was either in his late teens or early 20s, according to most references. And there are many people that were older than him, and many people that were probably very well learned. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Mus'ab ibn Umar because his love to da'wah and his way of da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he sent him to Al-Madinah after the first bay'ah of Aqaba. After the first bay'ah of Aqaba, and there was only 12 Muslims in the entire Medina. Only 12 Muslims in the entire city of Yathrib. There was only 12 Muslims. And he sends him Mus'ab ibn Umair. So Mus'ab ibn Umair goes with As'ad ibn Zurara. As'ad ibn Zurara was one of the people that gave the first bay'ah of Aqaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the very early Muslims among the Ansar. And by the way, he was the first person that ever given the Friday khutbah in Islam. Because the Jum'ah was taking place before the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was taking place in his house, and As'ad ibn Zurara was the khatib. So he would go with As'ad ibn Zurara to go into to visit the people in Medina, and he would knock on every door in Medina. And he would go house to house and door to door to give him the da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one time he was in an orchard, and Medina is an agricultural place. It's got dates and places of agriculture. And he would come to there, and he was with As'ad ibn Zurara. And that orchard was for Usayd ibn Hudayr, one of the noble people of Al-Madinah. And the peasants and the people in his orchard, they ran to Usayd and they said, look, there's As'ad and a man of Mecca with him, and they are calling to change the religion of your fathers in your own orchard. So he takes his spear. He said, I'm going to take care of them. And he runs to where Mus'ab ibn Umair is, and As'ad ibn Zurara. And Mus'ab sees him coming with his spear. And he did not move. He's just sat down there. And Usayd ibn Hudayr said, مَا جَاءَ بِكُمَا إِلَى حَيِّنَا What brought you to our place? تُسَفِّهَانِ دُعَفَاءَنَا Are you trying to play with the minds of our weak people, of our laymen? اِعْتَزِلَانَا إِن كُنْتُمَا لَا تُرِيدَانِ الْخُرُوجَ مِنَ الْحَيَاءِ He said, leave us or you will leave life. I'll kill you if you don't just move on right now. And then Mus'ab looked at him with iman, with faith, with steadfastness. And he said, أَوَلَا تَجْلِسْ Why don't you just sit down? فَتَسْتَمِعْ And listen to me. فَإِذَا رَضِيتَ أَمْرَنَا قَبِلْتَ If you thought what I'm telling you is true and you would accept it, then that would be fine. وَإِن كَرِهْتَ كَفَفْنَا عَنْكَ مَا تَكْرَهْ He said, if you don't like it, then we will leave. But at least give me a chance to tell you what I have. And Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu anhu, he was a man of intelligence. He was a man of true nobleness. And he said, unsoft. That's fair. So he sat down with him and he put his spear aside. And then Mus'ab ibn Umair started reciting the Quran and telling him the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Usayd ibn Hudayr, he said, مَا أَحْسَنَ هَذَا الْقَوْلَ وَمَا أَصْدَقَ There is nothing better or more truthful than what you have just told me. What do I do to come into your religion? The man that came with the spear wants to kill them. He said, what do I do? And then Mus'ab poured water on him and he took the shahada from him right there and right there. And after that they went to Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, one of the noble people of Medina. And they gave him the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they go to Sa'd ibn Ubadah, another nobleman. And then after that he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with 72 people that were just representative of Medina that were filled with Muslims at that time. And that was only a year after. So between 12 to 72 representative. The first number of the first Bayat al-Aqaba was 12 Muslims. They were the entire population of Muslims in Medina. And the next time they had to bring only 72 representatives of how many Muslims there were in Medina. So did he do a good job in da'wah? Diligently, knocking door by door, going one by one to just given them the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he fought with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Badr. And there comes Uhud. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the banner to Mus'ab ibn Umayr. The banner of Muslims was going to Mus'ab ibn Umayr. And we know what happened in Uhud. And the chaos that ensued after the error and the mistake that was done by the archers. And Mus'ab ibn Umayr stood right there in the middle of the battlefield. And the description upon Ibn Sa'd, this is from At-Tabaqat, from the book of At-Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd. He said, فَلَمَّا جَالَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ الثَّبِتَ مُصْعَبْ. When the Muslims were in chaos, they were running everywhere, they don't know. And the words were, the rumor was that the Prophet ﷺ was killed. The Prophet is dead. And Muslims panicked. There is no messenger. And here is Quraysh everywhere. From the front and from the back, and Mus'ab is standing right there in the middle. And then he started, he took the banner with his left hand and he was fighting with his right. And a man came to him, his Ibn Qamia, the man that tried to hit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and killed the Prophet. And then later he thought that Mus'ab was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Mus'ab was trying to get the people together. And they would say, Muhammad mat sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, the Prophet is dead. And then Mus'ab said these words. He said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. He said, Muhammad is only a prophet and there were some messengers, many messengers before him. Remember what you're fighting for. You're fighting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these exact words of Mus'ab ibn Umayr in the Qur'an. And they continued to fight until Ibn Qami'a qamma'ahu Allah. He killed Mus'ab ibn Umayr right there. And that was how Mus'ab ibn Umayr gave his life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to his Prophet. And he died holding the banner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so it would not fall. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came by his body when they were about to bury the dead people of Uhud. And he looked at him and he recited, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. Of the believers, there are people that were truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their promise. And then he looked at him and he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُكَ بِمَكَّةِ وَمَا بِهَا أَرَقُّ حُلَّةِ وَلَا أَحْسَنُ لُمَّةً مِنْكَ. And he looked at his body that it was filled with blood on the dirt of Uhud. And he said, I looked at you in Mecca. And in entire Mecca, there was no man who was better dressed than you are. There is no man that had fancier clothes than you are. ثُمَّ هَا أَنْتَ شَعْثُ الرَّأْسِ فِي بُرْدَةٍ. And here you are all dusted in a short dress. And they put him in his grave to bury him. And his dress was, his gown was so short that it would not cover his feet. So the Prophet ﷺ took some leaves of a plant called idkhar and he put it on his feet, on his legs. And then he said, أَذْنِي أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكُمُ الشُّهَدَىٰ. He said, I am witness that you are the martyrs to the people of Uhud. And then he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ زُورُوهُمْ وَأْتُوهُمْ وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. O people, come to them and gave them salam. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِمْ مُسْلِمٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا رَدُّوا عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. He said, wallahi, there is no Muslim that would give them salam to the day of judgment unless they reply to him with their salam. And that was Mus'ab ibn Umayr. And his life for da'wah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other stories of the da'wah of the Sahaba. And now how they understood immediately after they accept Islam that that is their mission in life. Is to bring Islam to humanity and bring humanity to Islam. It's to realign the word with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the people of the clan of Bakr came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his name was Dumam ibn Thalib. Dumam ibn Thalaba was an uneducated, illiterate man who was so rough and lived the life of a Bedouin and he had the sense of a Bedouin. And he was just a very rough man to deal with. But he was the chief of the clan of Bakr. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, and the Prophet was in Medina among his companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was, and the way he was described, and this is on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas. كَانَ رَجُلًا جَلْدًا. He was a rough man with two braids of hair. And this is the people of desert. That's how they used, because they had no barbers. I mean, there's no city. So they would let their hair grow long and they would put it in braids. He said he had two big, thick braids. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, أَيْنَ ابْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Where is the son of عبد المطلب? And the Prophet said, أَنَا ابْنُ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. I am the son of عبد المطلب. And he said, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Na'am, yes. He said, Ana Dumam ibn Thalib. And I want to ask you a few questions. And I will be tough with you. So don't feel anything in your heart against me. He was so direct with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ajidu fi nafsi. I will not have anything in your heart, in my heart against you. Ask whatever you want. Salma badalak. And Dumam said, Unshiduka ilahak. وإله من كان من قبلك وإله من كان من بعدك. الله أرسلك للناس. He said, I call upon you by your God and the God of the people before us and the people after us. Is it Allah that sends you to people? He just had a very straightforward, direct question. Are you a messenger of Allah? And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, نعم. Yes, I am. And he said, الله أمرك. أن نعبده وحده ولا نشرك به شيئا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called upon you, so we worship only Him and nothing, nobody but Him, no, none of these idols. أن نخلع هذه الأنداد, and we will just reject those idols that our fathers worship. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اللهم نعم, والله yes, Allah told me that. And he said the same thing. أنشدك إلهك وإله من قبلك وإله من بعدك. I will ask you by Allah and the one and the God of those before us and the God with after us. Allahu amaraka an nusalli khamsa salawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you that we pray five times. And he continue on and on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you that we pay zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you that we pay siyam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will do siyam. And every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would answer him, yes, yes, yes. And then after that when he finished, he said, فَإِنِّي أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I will give you my testimony that there is only but no God but Allah and you are the Prophet of Allah. وَسَأُؤَدِّي هَذِهِ الْفَرَائِضِ. I will do what you're telling me to do. These obligations. وَأَجْتَنِبُ مَا نَهَيْتَنِي عَنْهُ. And I will not do the things that you told me not to do. The zina, the sariqa, the stealing, all of that. ثُمَّ لَا أُزِيدُ وَلَا أُنْقِصُ. And I will not do anything more and I will not do anything less. I will do the obligations and I will not make do the kaba'ir and that's all I'm going to do. And then he jumped on his camel and he left. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in sadaqa dhul aqisatayni dakhal al-jannah. He said, if he is truthful to what he said, he will enter paradise. If he does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the fara'id, the obligations, and he did not do the sins, then he will go into the paradise. But what did Dumam do? I mean, see this short interview with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He ran to Bani Bakr. And he started immediately calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, بِئْسَةِ اللَّاتُ وَالْعُزَّةِ. He just immediately when he walked into his tribe, he started cursing Allat and Al-Uzza. Started cursing the idols. And the people said, وَيْلَكَ وَيْلَكَ الْجُنُونَ وَالْجُذَامُ وَالْبَرَصُ. He said, you will come crazy and the diseases will hit you and you will be afflicted by all these problems. You're cursing your gods. And he said, لَا يَنْصُرَانِ وَلَا يَنْفَعَانِ. He said, they will not help me and they will not support me and they cannot harm me, these idols. And they said, what is going on? What happened to you? And he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And then the narrator said, and this is in Ibn Ishaq, said, مَا أَمْسَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَفِي حَاضِرِهِ رَجُلٌ وَلَمْرَأَ إِلَّا أَسْلَمُ. He said, that night, there was not one person in the clan of Dumam ibn Thalaba, and they all declared Islam. Straightforward message. It's really, the message of Islam is very pure, very clear. Wallahi, there's nothing confusing about it. Because it agrees with the fitrah. It agrees with the nature of human being. It agrees with the creation. The soul is peaceful with it. La ilaha illallah. This is something we were created with, and it's deep down in us. And all we need to do to accept that in our hearts is just to try to step away from all these things that gather through our life. And then it's easy, because it agrees with what we have created to believe in. And that is the truth. Another person that is known with his da'wah of the Sahaba is somebody we didn't talk about, and his name is Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Urwa ibn Mas'ud is one of the most noble people of Arabia. He was the chief of Thaqif. Thaqif is the clan that inhabited At-Ta'if, Bani Thaqif. And the people of Al-Jazeera, the people of Arabia, they said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about this Quran, لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Wouldn't this Quran be revealed on a noble man of either Mecca or At-Ta'if? They meaning Abu Jahl, in Morris narration actually, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, in Mecca, because he was known of his nobleness and an educated man, and he's known of his intelligence and his station. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him guidance to Islam. And the other person was this man, Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, he was the chief of Thaqif. He was the man to talk to in At-Ta'if. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ninth year of Hijrah, in the ninth year of Da'wah, before Hijrah, to Mecca. And he made the Hajj. And during that Hajj, he heard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his call, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Hati ya Muhammad, let me hear. Let me hear from you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him the Quran, and gave him the da'wah, gave him the message. And Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi made the shahada. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And immediately, he put himself on the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, let me go back to Thaqif, so I can call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُوك. I'm afraid they will kill you. Thaqif is very rough. And we know how rough Thaqif was, with all the history with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Urwa said, وَاللَّهِ لَوَجَدُونِي نَائِمًا مَا أَيْخَذُونِي. He said, they love me, I'm their chief. Wallahi, if I was asleep, they would not wake me up. That's how much they respect me. They would not do it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever you want. أنت وما تريد. And he let him go back to At-Ta'if. So he goes to At-Ta'if. And he arrived At-Ta'if at night. So people came to give, to have their greeting to their chief who's coming from Hajj. I mean, they're trying to come and welcome the head of their city. And they came to him and they said, عَمْتَ مَسَاءً. The word, the greet him is good evening. عَمْتَ مَسَاءً. And he said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِتَحِيَّةِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. SubhanAllah, immediately. He said, you have to greet me like the people of paradise. As-salam. Say, as-salamu alayh. They said, what is that? Where did you come from? He said, جِئْتُ مِنْ عِنْدِ خَيْرِ النَّاسِ. I came from the best of creation. I came from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened to you? And he said, I became a Muslim. SubhanAllah. I mean, Ta'if and Thaqif, the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the narrator said, فَآذُوهُ وَنَالُهُ. They cursed him. And he's their head. He's their chief. And then, فَحَلِمَ عَنْهُمْ. He endured. Their transgression, and they left his house. And then he said the dawn came, and he wanted to go and do the fajr. So what he do? He would go up to the roof of his house, and he made the adhan. Allahu Akbar in Thaqif, in At-Ta'if. And there is no Muslim but him. He was the only Muslim in the entire city that was all enemies to Islam. And he is making the adhan on the roof of his house. And they started throwing him with arrows and they killed him on his roof. And that was Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. The other man that we will talk about is from the tribe of Daws. And his name is At-Tufayl ibn Amr. At-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi. And Daws was also a clan that is well known of their strength. And they were all non-Muslims. They're all enemies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet, his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a poet. And he was a nobleman in Daws. And he came to Al-Madinah. And Quraysh received him. And it was that time where Quraysh was telling everyone that comes to Hajj that don't listen, we have a sorcerer here, we have a magician, he will put spell on your ears, he will make you follow him, he will make you a slave to him. And they came to At-Tufayl ibn Amr al-Dawsi and they said, don't come close to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he will put the spell, he will cast the spell on you. So At-Tufayl was afraid and he said, where is Muhammad? They said he will be around the Kaaba. He will be talking to people coming from everywhere. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the ninth year of da'wah, of bi'tha. And Quraysh is not responding and he started giving the da'wah to others. And the protection of his uncle, Abu Talib. So they said, don't come to him. He's around the Kaaba. And he said, what can I do to not to listen to him? So he filled his ears with cotton. He put cotton in his ears. He said, فَحَشَوْتُ أُذُنَيَّ كُرْسُفًا. He put cotton so even if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks, he can't listen to him. So he'll be safe from the spell of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Quraysh was very mad. Everybody that listens to him, even Urwa ibn Mas'ud, just listened to this man and he became his follower. So they were trying to make nobody listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, I sat down and I saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was talking to people, and I was sitting afar, and I could not hear a word. And then I said to myself, what happened to me? I'm afraid of words. He said, أَنَا رَجُلٌ عَاقِلٌ. I'm a man of intelligence. I mean, all he knows about himself is he had enough up here to understand what has been told to him. He said, I'm afraid of the words of that man. He just felt ashamed, he felt embarrassed, that he's afraid if somebody is just going to talk to him. And then he said, wallahi, I took my cotton out of my ears and I went to him. He just got angry with himself. How did he listen to Quraysh? And he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I will listen to him. If it was good, I will follow it. And if it's bad, I will stay away from it. I can differentiate, I can distinguish good from bad. And then he said, Ya Muhammad, inna qawmaka qalu li kaza wa kaza wa kaza. Your people told me this and this and that, and I put cotton in my ears so I wouldn't listen to you, and here I am. I wanna hear what you have to say. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, according to the narration of At-Tufayl, he said they started reciting the Quran. And in another source, they said all he recited to him is three surah. He recited, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. All he recited is Al-Ikhlas wal-Mu'awwadhatan to At-Tufayl ibn Amr. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. The entire Tawheed, my brothers and sisters, the entire science of Tawheed is in this verse, which is in the Hadith. It's worth one third of the Quran. Because one third of the message of Quran is La ilaha illallah Muhammad, to establish that. And in this one surah gathers the entire science of Tawheed. And I will not expand on that because many scholars did. Wallahi, you will see books written about Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. At-Tufayl ibn Amr understood what that verse means. And he made La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Now the subject is da'wah today. And he said, I want to go back to Daws. Remember the Habib al-Najjar in Surah Yasin? The one that came from the far away from the city, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. The first thing that a believer, a true believer that loves his people, that loves his family, that loves his neighbors, wants to do when he gets the truth is to let others know. When he was dead, he was killed, he said, أَلَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ. I just wish that my people know. He was not angry at them for killing him. He just wanted them to get the message, to get the truth. And that is how people that love their families, their clan, their neighbors do. So At-Tufayl ibn Amr said, let me go back to Dawes. I want to tell him that all what they're doing all their lives is wrong. This polytheism that they're living is wrong. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَكَ هَذَا, you will have that. And then he asked the Prophet ﷺ a request. He said, هَلِّي بِنْ عَلَامَ تُبَيِّنُ صِدْقِي, can you give me a sign? Just to show them. He was so worried. He knows that's the truth. But he's so worried that Dawes will not believe him. Now Dawes were the neighbors of Ghifar, and they were all just basically tribes that live on theft and on raiding other people and on stealing their belongings. This is what Dawes and Ghifar were. And he said, I want to go back to these people. Give me something to help me, to give them the message. And the Prophet ﷺ prayed to him, and a light came between his eyes. A light came before his head. This is on Sahih, brothers and sisters. And he was walking and he would see the light in front of him. He was walking at night and he's like, he was having one of those, you know, lamps on his forehead. And it would shine through. And then he thought about it and he said, Allahumma fi ghayri wajhi hatta la yadhunnu annaha mithla. He said, oh Allah, don't put it in my face. They will think that you're angry with me, or the idols are angry with me. You know, they will think that something happened to my creation, to the way I was created. And then, as he was holding his whip, he saw the light moving from his head to the end of his whip. And so he walked into the houses of Dawes with the light at the end of his whip shining through the night. A miracle, karama. A miracle to the Prophet and a karama to this man. Anything that is outside the ordinary that happens to non-Prophet is called karama to these people. And after that, he remained in his tribe calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he brought the entire clan, the entire tribe of Dawes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. He remained several years. And he came after Khaybar to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he brought the entire clan of Dawes, Muslims, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba followed that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would send his armies to Sham, he would just tell them that you are going to call people to Islam. The message that he's sending them with is not the sword to increase the kingdom of Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr cared less about what's here in this world. When Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anh would send the armies to Persia and to Byzantium, he would tell them, offer Islam. This is number one. Offer Islam. And if they don't like to be Muslims, fine. Then they will have to pay the jizya and we have to be able to give Islam, to at least deliver the da'wah to the people under them. And if not, then the last resort would be fighting. The last option would be to fight them. Khalid ibn al-Walid, in many letters, there are so many pages here just to show you letter after letter, document after document, just to support what I just said. But Khalid ibn al-Walid, he would say, أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, I would call upon you to Allah and to Islam. فَإِنْ أَجَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ فَأَنْتُمْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لَكُمْ مَا لَهُمْ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ. If you respond, then you are one of us. You have what we have, and our obligations are your obligations. فَإِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ فَالْجِزْيَةِ, if you refuse, then you have to subdue yourself by jizya, meaning that you should allow us. When the jizya mean that we will take care of your protection, we will support your safety, your way of life, your safety in your houses. We will take nothing away from you, but we will have the freedom to deliver the message. And you shall not be armed to prevent us from doing that. That's what the jizya is all about. فَإِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ فَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكُمْ بِأَقْوَامٍ. If you refuse, I have people with me. أَحْرَصُ عَلَى الْمَوْتِ مِنْكُمْ عَلَى الْحَيَاةِ. They love death more than you love life. جاهدناكم حتى يحكم الله بيننا وبينكم. We will fight you until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the judge between you and us. One of the last stories that I would say about Khalid ibn al-Walid, it is time for Isha, is what happened to him in the battle of Yarmouk. Khalid ibn al-Walid, this is just to support the evidence that when Khalid held the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not hold it to become a great leader, a great commander, a great general, and that every time Khalid is in a battle, then victory will come and he will be victorious and he will march. And never did that Khalid ibn al-Walid. In the midst of battle of Al-Yarmouk, one of the Byzantine leaders come to Khalid ibn al-Walid, and his name was Georgius. And they were close to each other, about to just fight each other. And he said, Ya Khalid, akhbirni fasduqni. Khalid, tell me the truth. وَلَا تُكَذِّبْنِي فَإِنَّ الْحُرَّ لَا يَكْذِبْ. A free man does not lie, so don't tell me a lie. بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ هَلْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّكُمْ سَيْفًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Tell me the truth. Did the God send to your prophet a sword from heaven? Like a magic sword or something? And he gave it to you? And whenever you fight with it, you will never be defeated? The Roman and the Byzantine, they just wanted to know what's with this leader? Every battle he goes against them, he is victorious, despite that they have multifolds in numbers. And he said, what do you have this? Is this true that you have this sword that God gave you a prophet and he gave it to you? And Khalid said, no. And they said, then why they call you the sword of Allah? Why they call you? Why, if you don't have that sword, why they call you that? So why did they call you Saifullah? He said, let me tell you the story. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَ فِينَا نَبِيَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger to us. فَدَعَانَا. He called upon us. فَنَفَرْنَا مِنْ. We rejected him. Khalid rejected Islam for a long time. وَنَأَيْنَا عَنْ. And we went far away from him. ثُمَّ إِنَّ بَعْضَنَا صَدَّقَهُ وَتَبَعَهُ. But some of us followed him and went with him. فكنت في من كذبه. I was one of the people that rejected him and called him a liar, صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم إن الله أخذ بقلوبنا ونواصينا فهدانا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took our hearts and our foreheads, meaning either willingly or unwillingly, we came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's telling him that don't be sad, don't be mad because we're fighting you. We were fighting each other, and some of us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to this deen unwillingly. But this is still, meaning that, you know, after fighting. But still, that is the truth. That is the religion to follow. فَبَيَعْنَا. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, you are a sword of the swords of Allah. When I followed the truth, I became a sword of Allah. It's not a magic sword. It's my same old sword. Nothing changed. It's what's changed. It's in the heart. The heart is what's changed. With Khalid ibn al-Walid. وَدَعَ لِي بِالنَّصْرِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed to me that I be victorious. That's why you can't defeat me. That's why I cannot be defeated. And then George said, what do you call for? And then he said, شَهَادَةُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَمُحَمَّدْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And he said, and those who refuse to follow that. Then he said, الْجِزْيَة. Then you have to pay the jizya, be under my protection. And then he said, and if you don't pay it, don't come under your protection. They said, نُحَارِبُ نُقَاتِلُ. We will fight them. And then he said, what happens to somebody if he answers your call today on this battle of Yarmouk? And then he said, مَنْزِلَتُنَا وَاحِدَةً. He becomes one of us. Da'wah in the middle of the battlefield. When the war is waging against your enemy and he's calling to Allah, Georgius, the leader of the Rome, one of the leaders of the Roman armies. And he said, we become equal. We become equal. And then he said, لِمَنْ دَخَلَ الْيَوْمْ لَهُمْ مِثْلَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ. He said, they will have the reward like you have. And Khalid said, وَأَفْضَلْ. No, better. Better than us. And Georgius said, how come? وَقَدْ سَبَقْتُمُهُ. And you were preceded. You went before him. And then he said, we accepted this وَبَايَعْنَا نَبِيَّنَا وَهُوَ حَيٍّ. We gave the oath of allegiance to our Prophet when he was alive. تَهْتِيهِ أَخْبَارُ السَّمَاءِ بَيْنَنَا. He was getting revelation from Allah amongst us. وَيُرِينَا الْآيَاتِ. And he was showing us the miracles. وَحَقَّ لِمَنْ رَأَى مَا رَأَيْنَا وَسَمِعَ مَا سَمِعْنَا أَنْ يُؤْمِنَ. He said, it is an obligation for those who saw the Prophet, went with the Prophet, and saw the miracles of the Prophet to believe. And then he said, أَنْتُمْ لَمْ تَرَوْ مَا رَأَيْنَا. You didn't see what we saw. وَلَمْ تَسْمَعُوا مَا سَمِعْنَا. You didn't hear what we heard from the mouth of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَمَنْ دَخَلَ مِنْكُمْ بِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ بِحَقِيقَةٍ وَنِيَّةٍ كَانَ أَفْضَلَ مِنَّا. Those who come into it with true faith and true belief is better than us. George said, بِاللَّهِ صَدَقْتَنِي. Wallahi, are you telling me the truth? And he said, صَدَقْتُكَ. And then George just turns his shields down, put his shields down. He said, take me with you and show me how to become a Muslim. And he goes into the tent of Khalid. Khalid pours water on him. He takes Shahada and he prays only two rak'ah. And he goes out with Khalid with the Muslim army, fighting the Byzantine army, and he is martyred. He is killed only after two rak'ah. The entire work of this man in the life of Islam was Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah and two rak'ah and then Shahada. But that is the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It never stops. In every occasion, and in every majlis, every seat, every court, and every place, whatever we can, we hold the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي. Give upon me. Deliver the message, وَلَوْ بِآيَةٍ. Even one ayah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of those who accept Islam with the truth and to deliver the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين. صلاة العشاء جزاكم الله.